Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And as you're aware, and as you're becoming accustomed to, I love to bring in guests that offer a perspective for us for growth, magical growth in ourselves personally, which can then translate into practice growth. So a lot of times, I know you're probably wondering, audience, as to where's John going with this, but I've done this enough, and I hope you realize now that the importance lies within our personal growth. And when we grow personally, everything else grows also. It's just it's a magical button. And a little over 10 days ago or so, I spent the weekend with Nithya Korea and at an expansion conference down in Phoenix, Arizona. And as I was visiting with Nithya just a few minutes ago, when I go to conferences like this, I stand back just a little bit initially, and I kind of evaluate the people and what's going on. And I look for where the energy is, and I immediately go towards that energy. I'm drawn to energy. I love energy. That's kind of been my mode throughout my life and my professional career. I go towards energy, and I noticed Nithya, and she was visiting with another person. There was some great energy there, some laughter, some openness and whatever, and Nithya, you had a great smile on your face, and it's like, boom, I've got to go meet her. So I went over immediately, and we stood there with our little cups of coffee, and we chatted, and I immediately knew that I needed to have you on my podcast, Nithya. So welcome to the podcast, Nithya Korea. And Nithya, I'm going to let you share with the audience and our listeners what you want them to know about you that will be significant in what we're going to talk about and what you have to offer the audience. So share with us.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that lovely introduction. And you really, I think, segued into exactly what I really specialize in. And this is this idea of harnessing the power of energy. I work very similarly to you. And I feel like as soon as I turned around and saw your face, I had that same really resonance and connection and just knew that there was going to be, I don't know, I was excited to see your face and to say hello and to get to know you. And, you know, how I serve is I really teach five simple habits, call them the high vibe habits. And I really use them to help people, professionals really prioritize their well-being so that they can actually get happy on purpose. And I think on purpose, these last two words are really the powerful component of what I do, because I think happiness for a lot of us, especially achievers, we grow up, you know, with this really driven energy and it's a part of who we are. I think we really do find a lot of satisfaction and purpose in the act of creation, you know, whatever it is, like pouring ourselves into things. And I think that so many times, like those wonderful habits that we develop that have helped us achieve success actually additionally contain a component that blocks our joy. And so the five habits that I teach are really things that we already have within us. It's clarity, control, confidence, curiosity, and creativity. And really learning how to flex these muscles so that these become a sort of autopilot. And when we use these together, what happens is we begin to elevate the perspective that we have at any given moment. And being able to see more is how we really end up being able to be more, do more, have more, and just feel more, receive more from our life.
That was a lot, Nithya. You said a ton. And I'm going to encourage the audience to re-listen to that opening comment that you just made, because you laid so much out there. For my purpose, because I'm taking notes here, review those five habits, the five C's again, just quickly.
Okay, so it's clarity, control, confidence, curiosity, and creativity. And these habits really, what they do is they give us a constructive habit, because a lot of our habits are the old habits from, you know, the way that we're kind of brought up in our family, our culture, our society, really distracts us from this, what I truly believe is a universal desire for all of us to feel good. I think everything that we want to be or do or have or bring into our life, it's because it meets a need of ours. And ultimately, whether that's, you know, safety, security, love, connection, all of those really boil down to the essence of just allowing us to feel good. And I think that this has, for many people, this idea, it's really like a cherry on top. It's like, okay, well, if I check all these boxes, if I have time, if I can do this, then maybe I can also be happy. And what I like to do is really reverse that, like kind of flip it on its head. And I say, what happens when we allow ourselves to set the compass just to feeling good? And what my clients, what I have found just living this every day, like I was telling you earlier, you know, this work is not just something that I teach. It is something that I truly passionately believe in and live every single day in my life. And when I've allowed feeling good to be my compass, what's happened is that I am automatically kind of having access and showing up with the best parts of myself. And that's science. There's, you know, we can get into that too, but a lot of what I teach is intuitive. We get that because there's this biofeedback loop. Our mind and our bodies are always communicating. The energy that we have, like you were mentioning earlier, is something that we feel. It's palpable, and it's something that we give off. And again, there's so much data around how this can be represented in scientific terms. But I think anytime that we actually pause, think about it, like, what do we do when we have a great day? We don't keep it to ourselves. We share it. We smile. We say hello. Maybe I buy someone a cup of coffee, open a door, talk to a stranger, right? We can't help but lift someone else up. And I think those are some of the struggles that I hear my own clients go through when they are looking for more energy. They want to be more patient, maybe with their kids. They are trying to find more confidence when they show up in certain environments. The things that we kind of are really kind of grasping for and feeling like we focus on our own lack, when we allow ourselves to feel good, we really tap into something so deep within us energetically. We have that raised vibration, hence that high vibe habits that really allow us to, again, have access to the best parts of our brain, but also the best parts of our heart, just being able to give and do just really sustainably and continuously. So I always say it's not just quality, but it's quantity also in this aspect.
I'm going to have to re-listen to this podcast myself because I can't write fast enough to take all the notes that I want to take, Nithya. You know what's interesting? Energy. And that's what drew both of us together in the meeting. And I'm glad you shared that I had energy, positive energy that you were drawn to. Because at times ourselves, we don't know whether or not that's what we're putting out. And when we go into meetings like this, or when we have the opportunity to meet people, how do we show up? And we're always looking at ourselves and wanting to show up as our best. And, you know, you said so many things there a minute ago, but and a common theme during the conference was, if you feel good, you're going to do good. But the other thing is that you mentioned in your speech, you gave us a presentation there, and I've got a number of pages of notes from that presentation. But one thing that you mentioned then, and you mentioned just now, is that when we are really present with ourselves and we're happy, and we project this energy, this positive energy, it releases something within ourselves, and it's an intangible, they say, but that energy definitely feels tangible, though.
Yeah, I agree.
And we then allow ourselves to be and exist how we really want to versus the way we're supposed to. or the way that we've been taught in the past. And how we've been taught in the past by our parents and whoever else influenced our lives earlier on, who says that that was right? And we discover a little bit later on that, maybe that wasn't right, but we have nowhere to go. Yeah. We don't have a compass. We don't have a map. We don't have an end point where we can say, that's where I want to go. That's where you come in, Nithya. Share with us how you would guide and direct. If I came to you and said, Nithya, I need happiness in my life. I've got to develop some energy about who I am and what I am. Share with me a little bit how you would guide and direct me.
Yeah. You know, I love what you just brought up around this personalization, because I think this is something, especially when we look at a model of success, you know, maybe specific like you're in dentistry, there's a really clear-cut path for how you become a dentist, how you succeed at being dentist, right? Which starts with good grades, we get into good schools, we get good jobs, we make good money. You know, all of these things kind of are pre-written for us of what this looks like. And so what happens is exactly what you're saying. What we don't pause to ever offer ourselves the opportunity. And this is what that first C is about, clarity. It's about understanding that I get to check in with myself, because what makes, so feeling good is a universal desire. I think every human on the planet, we all want this. And that being said, how that shows up for each of us is completely different. And so I like to start with this idea of just energetic, like, how am I feeling? And if, you know, the listeners took away just one thing from today, it would really be just this idea to check in with yourself and just every day, as many times a day as you can or need to, ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Because before we dive into creating that list, and there is strategy that I teach around how can we be more productive or effective with our time and working on, you know, kind of mastering a concept of a list. But before we even get to a list, right, we need to know what we actually want. And we need to allow ourselves a permission to say that my journey to feeling good, to being happy, can look really different. Not can, but most likely will look really different from yours or from my sister's or from my mom's. And allowing ourselves that permission to first just check in and start to just, again, high vibe, just see more possibility. Say like, okay, well, my marriage can look like this. And that feels good to me at this stage, right? Because it's also an evolutionary process. When I have infants, my life looks really different than when I have, you know, teenagers and kids out of the house. We always get to reevaluate. And that's why having these questions, these habits that allow us to check in with ourselves are really valuable, because they allow us to continue to evolve, again, in a constructive way. So starting with how do I feel right now is clarity. What do I want? And allowing ourselves, first of all, just checking in. You know, when I first started this whole expedition with myself, which is where really my journey started, was because I wanted to feel something different. Mm-hmm. I had created a life that looked great on paper. It was like a 2D, two-dimensional, you know, resume that was perfect. It looked great. It was exciting to tell other people about, but when I lived it, it didn't have the feeling that I wanted it to. I got stuck in the list. I got stuck in everything that I loved becoming something that I had to manage. Oh, the kids have to get fed. The laundry has to get done. I got to do this for work, and I got to carve out time to spend with my husband. You know, where I lost just the innate, the desire, because I didn't feel good. I wasn't naturally looking to, you know, connect or to find joy or laugh or just really, again, receive. Because anytime we give, we also have the ability to receive from that act. So, you know, really allowing ourselves to just check in. So I didn't realize how often I felt poorly until I asked myself the question. And the more I asked, the more I just really became in tune with the physiological symptoms, really, of what shows up. I could feel myself getting frustrated just instantly now. I can tell that a thought that just doesn't feel like me pops into my head. I can feel my throat maybe tighten or my shoulders get tight. I just am so much more connected to myself. And this only happens when we give ourselves the curiosity, right? We start to ask and say, hey, I want to know. And it's important to know, because I think the story then that tells us is that I matter. And I think that's a really important story that we get to tell ourselves, that we matter. And this is how we begin to be able to prioritize without feeling like it's selfish, without the guilt, without feeling bad on our way to feeling good, which is something, you know, almost everyone I talk to on their journey for well-being experiences at some point. Oh, I should have done that. I should have eaten better, John. Gosh, I didn't get to bed last night. See, I'm just a person who doesn't. I guess I just can't. These are the I am beliefs that we begin to excavate and just have awareness. Mm-hmm. And I think clarity is that first tool that we just have to be aware. Well, we get to be aware of who we think we are, what we think is possible in our life, and how we're feeling in it. And just getting to find a way, right? Then I get to take control and say, okay, so what do I get to do about it? Because sometimes feeling good is simply just allowing ourselves to feel just one step better, right? Like, oh my gosh, like my kids had a meltdown and, you know, I had to get this project out for this article out and I'm, you know, hitting crunch time with this deadline. And as I feel the stress, right, I get to just say, okay, right now, taking a deep breath, stepping away for 5 minutes would let me just feel a little bit better, right? Because that awareness, anytime I realize that I'm in a low vibe state, that's a stress-induced state. So I have created in my mind a perceived fear, a perceived threat. Maybe it's a real threat, but I think for most of us in this day and age, it's it's a negative kind of what if cascade.
Yeah.
And I automatically know if I'm there. Whatever I'm going to come up with, want to say or express in this moment, it's just not going to be my best. I know that this is not what I want to say or do. So I get to, again, allow myself, and so much of it is just self-compassion in this journey, to say, okay, it's important, like taking this minute, this 5 minutes, maybe you need to take 30 minutes and work out whatever it is that you need, you'll know. And when you offer it to yourself, really that walks you into that next habit of confidence, of saying, okay, I did this. And even again, climbing one rung up that ladder, as soon as we begin to climb, our mind starts to say, wait a second. I could do one more. Like, okay, if I'm here now, I could think of one, something else better. Okay, maybe I could do this, right? Or, okay, it's really not that bad. I'm going to let my kid do this. I'm going to just quickly, you know, get to this article and send it out. It's okay. And we just begin to practice anytime we feel disempowered to remember, wait a second, I can do something about this. And it just begins with allowing ourselves just to, again, feel better. Because as soon as I feel better, I've put myself, I'm using a different part of my brain and I see more possibility.
Yeah. You know, pausing for a moment and allowing ourselves to, in a microsecond, assess where we're at, what we're feeling, and then ask the question, why am I feeling this way? And then how do I really want to feel right now? And I have found myself doing more of that in 2024, Nithya.
Great.
I decided middle of last April, I really started on a journey of doing a little bit more at this point in my life, self-discovery. Mm-hmm. But the self-discovery had a purpose in that fact that I wanted to become and be a really good podcast host. I wanted to get on the stage and speak more or do presentations via Zoom. And I thought, you know, I cannot do that with the John that just walked out of the dental office, I shouldn't say just, 2.5 years, 3 years ago, from the mindset of leadership there to being more creative, give myself permission to be a different person. You know, one thing that I think it was at the conference that says, be a great beginner. Did someone talk about that, Nithya?
Know if that's if that happened at expansion, but I've also heard, yes, that beginner's mindset is really powerful.
You know, and so here I was, I practiced for 42 and a half years. I had a lifestyle dental practice that I just loved. Lifestyle meaning that I did a lot of reconstruction of mouths that people were embarrassed and ashamed of, therefore their confidence, their creativity, all the five C's that you mentioned, you know, confidence, curiosity, creative, clarity, control. They had none. They had none. Their life was at the discretion of whoever stood before them, or their mindset of who was kicking them around the day before.
Yeah.
So how could I, John, be a better dentist to those people? So I knew that I needed to change who I was and what I was about. So I had an expertise in doing cosmetic dentistry and helping people transform their lives with their smile, but also transform, allowing them the opportunity for them to ask these questions and self-discover themselves to transform their lives in a way and in the path and the journey that they wanted to. How could I help them do that? How could I then step into what I'm doing now, mentoring, doing masterminds, doing podcasts, and creating my stage presence? That's new for me. That's a beginner. But wait a minute. I've been an expert for 42 and a half years. You mean I've got to start over? Yes. And it was exciting to me. It was a challenge. It's what I needed and wanted in my retirement because I wasn't ready to put my book on the shelf and let it collect dust. I just couldn't do that. And I think, you know, you experienced who I am down there in the meeting. That's not a guy that wants to retire. And, you know, some of my friends just don't understand. Well, John, what are you doing all this for? I don't even talk to them about it, Nithya, because they have no clue.
Yeah.
They have no clue. So with that being said, having the beginner mentality really allows you to be more open and to really ask the questions about the five vibe, high vibe habits to allow us to grow.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so important too, just like what you said you were doing with your patients about giving them the tools where they get to really learn how to support themselves. And I think this is just so important because I think anytime you're working with, you know, whether it's a coach or a teacher or, you know, we're really growing, whether, you know, whatever type of education or development that looks like. The problem with handing somebody a list, you know, like if I were to go to a nutritionist and she says, okay, today you need to eat these 50 things. While that can be helpful in this moment when I'm 43 and okay, here's where I am in my life, it's not necessarily helpful 5 years from now or when I hit menopause or when I get in a stressful situation. You know, my body's going to be changing. And I think the same way we can look at our whole selves, like you're saying, that there's always place for growth, and we can look at that in a way that is exciting and in a way that we can really learn to support ourselves by just always being able to kind of recalibrate. And again, when we have a North Star that is as powerful and personal and not, it's really in service of feeling good, is in service of everyone, and we get to be a part of that. And when we do that, we're really allowing ourselves again to just to go out into the world. And it doesn't matter what we do or where we are in that journey, whether we're beginners, whether, you know, you're in dentistry and it was your 42nd year and you were, you know, you're just steeped in it. We get to show up just in a really powerful way. Just, you know, being new at something doesn't mean that we don't know anything or that we don't have something to contribute. I think at any point in our journey, we get to always look at things from a learning perspective, which is, you know, curiosity is really what's the learn. If confidence is what's the win. Curiosity asks, what's the learn? I can always learn something. You know, in positive intelligence, there's a piece where after you have a big, what you might call a failure. And again, so much of having constructive thoughts is redefining what all of these terms even mean to us. Failure, success, happiness. One of my all-time favorites is just saying, you know, what's actually enough? What's enough is my role as a mother, a wife, a daughter, an entrepreneur, you know, and getting to just know for myself so that when I go out and achieve something, I know, am I doing it? Am I following my own values for what I want to achieve in life and what I want to do? Or am I just waiting, just like you were saying, for someone else to decide, oh, okay, now she's good enough. Now, you know, she's earned this or whatever. What someone else hands us, they can take away. But what we give ourselves, we get to keep. And that's what really helps us grow and evolve.
You know, the growth, the involvement, I look at growth, first of all, I have a number of thoughts that are running through my mind at the same time. Okay, us guys, what you teach is from a woman's perspective. Why? Because you are an expert at that perspective. Not only that, are you an expert because you live it and you're a woman, you're an expert at it because you've studied it. And you've gained clarity in that particular space. So you really know how to connect with women to talk about that. But as I was watching you and listening to you speak, as I mentioned, I took many pages of notes. I thought, whoa, this is phenomenal stuff. And when I hear things like that, Nithya, I think if men would only pause and listen and not be threatened. See, this is the thing that I sense with women versus men, and myself being an employer and all of my staff was always women, is that the women were more open to learning and sharing and growing together than men. Am I right?
I think it's, again, goes back to, yeah, those cultural, societal, just what we want to call norms.
Yeah.
What we kind of grow up under of saying what's allowed.
Right. Part of that, I think, is that us men were afraid of being vulnerable. And that word vulnerability, I think, ekes weakness in the mental framework of men. But what I discovered in becoming vulnerable, my greatest moments of growth in my dental practice is when I became 1,000% vulnerable in certain continuing education situations or growth opportunities that I had put out there before myself from mentors in the dental community. My growth was after that was astronomical because I submitted myself 100% and I was able to go, okay, guys, here I am. Go ahead and tell me where my weaknesses are. We had to make presentations to a group of our about our work, and they got to judge us. They got to judge us on our work and our presentation skills. And that was very threatening at first, but I thought, you know, oh, John, but you must. Because on the other side of this is phenomenal opportunity for you to grow. And the more that you grow, the happier I was going to be. The happier I was going to be, I was going to be more open to being in relationships with people that would allow me, as we just mentioned a minute ago, to help provide tools to people so they could grow also. So by keeping myself back, I was keeping back growth opportunities for people around me also. And that was kind of a theme for the weekend at our conference, Nithya. And I've seen it in some of the things that you mentioned in some of your blogs and with your material. Talk a little bit about that.
About vulnerability and just holding ourselves back.
Yes.
Yes. There's an interesting thing. I think, again, vulnerability is something that we have an experience because of what we say, what happens then, right? Going back to that concept of definitions. If I mess up, if I get up in front of people and I mess up, what are they going to think of me? That is one perspective. And that again is fear-based. So I have created a stressful environment for myself by having that thought pattern. And instead of being open and receptive, like you were saying, you got to a place where you were able to do that, where it was not threatening, right? The perceived fear was gone. So now if I say, oh, so when people give me feedback, it's actually helping me get better. When I see it that way, then I lose that stress of, oh my gosh, like they're going to think that I'm not good at what I do, or that, again, there's some perceived weakness, and that in that sense, right, perfection is the goal. But perfection, as we all know, is the illusion, right? We all know that we're not perfect. And, you know, there's so much research even around, right, this idea of what happens when we start to believe that we can do no wrong, right? We create harm is what happens. because we are not open to seeing how do we improve? Maybe where did I make a small mistake that then led to a bigger mistake, right? If I catch myself, I think vulnerability really goes back to allowing ourselves to redefine. What does it all mean to me? And what would it mean if somebody didn't think I was perfect? What would it mean if I showed people that I make mistakes? And I think the strength, our capacity to show people our true energetic, powerful force shows up when we make mistakes. And then what do we do afterwards? When we get feedback, how do we respond? And I think this shows our character in a way that being perfect doesn't. I think when we don't show people that we're human, we really set ourselves up on a pedestal. And I think that we miss so much setting ourselves above people because we can learn from everyone. Everyone has something to share. We're connected whether we like it or not. And, you know, there's always like a piece of my meditation that comes along every so often that it's always like, I'm neither above nor below, right? Like flattery or criticism. It's just, I lie somewhere in the middle and I realize that if someone pays me a huge compliment, it doesn't, like it feels good, but I can also release it and know like, great. And I can still grow. And when someone criticizes me, I can ask, was that useful? Was that true? You know, what can I learn from it? Because sometimes people are going to criticize us and it has nothing to do with us. And sometimes people will offer us something that's really can make us so much better. So just allowing ourselves to be open and remove that, really, it's an obstacle to be perfect. And just say, what if I strive for excellence? Excellence is an ongoing process. And it says I can always evolve. And that's not anything that's meant to be exhausting or tiring or just like kind of futile. It's really meant to be inspiring. And I know I had talked about this at Expansion, but it's really changing even the visual for ourselves of creating a high bar or a low bar and understanding that we can actually build a model for ourselves. It's more like a staircase so that if I set a goal of, you know, wanting to climb 50 stairs and I made it to 30, if I had a high bar model, then I'd say I failed. That's it. Something awful now is going to happen. I'm not capable. I'm not smart. I'm not enough. But when I use a staircase model, I can look and say with curiosity, okay, how could I do this differently that I would make it the whole way next time? Or what could I have done differently? Or what mistake did I make? It really keeps us open to seeing everything. And we need all that information if we want to get better. And then when I look back, instead of cutting myself down, what I see is that I made it 30 steps. So I get to offer myself something. Again, I gain that confidence of saying, okay, I didn't make 50, but I made 30. Now what? Now what do I get to do?
Yeah.
And it's what really can motivate us from a really positive and constructive state instead of a fear-based, what if I'm not enough? I better do well, right? That's draining.
It is. And we find that fear and those inhibitions, the energy behind them is so strong that it prevents us a lot of times, Nithi, from even getting on the staircase because of that fear of failure. That, you know, we have to climb all 50, and if we don't, we have failed. But it's really awesome, and that's one thing that I enjoy doing and I'm enjoying doing now as I'm the beginner is, and, you know, I listen to podcasts a lot, and I hear guests and I hear the host and just phenomenal interactions. And I'm going, wow, okay. I wanted to immediately become that host. But knowing that I was a newbie and going, okay, John, it's okay to be a newbie and a beginner. You're going to grow. You're going to get better. And you do it by experience. And you listen to yourself, your first podcast and go, ooh, boy, that was a little rough around the edges. And then 6 months later, you listen and you go, okay, I made it to step 30 now. And now it's okay. I think it's time to get up to step 40. How do I do that? How do I do that? And I've been able to identify and gain that clarity on what I need to do to get to that point. And looking at that as a challenge, but looking at it as also fun. because I do expose myself to new experiences. And the expansion was one of those. I had no idea what I was getting into down there. You know, Vanessa said, "Well, John, I think you need to come to this." And I was going, "Okay, I'll go." Immediately when I walked in, I thought, "Okay, I'm glad to see a few other men here."
That was an amazing event. Yeah,
it really was. And the thing that I noticed, Nithya, is I enjoy being around in environments to where I see the interconnectedness happening. And one of my first thoughts is, how, what's going on here? There's some connectedness that I'm not aware of. There's something below the matrix here. There's a foundation that I don't know about. And I just sat back and said, okay, I've got to sit back and take this in. And I wasn't going to ask questions because I didn't want to look stupid with you. I just let it unfold. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I started realizing the connectedness and I started realizing the strength of that connectedness. I also started realizing the strength of the commitment to share and to be with each other mm-hmm. down there. The openness.
Yeah.
It was just great. And I'm going, dudes in the world, if you could just take a microcosm moment of this and watch it and observe the power of our soft skills, the superpower of our soft skills. I've tried to frame that soft skills to where it doesn't sound so weak to men. And so the power of the soft, the superpower of soft, you're going to have to help me with that.
Yeah. I was reading about the origin of the whole classification of soft skills versus hard skills. I believe it came from the military when they were doing training and they also regretted it. You know, really labeling it this way eventually, because exactly what you're saying, what do we connect when we hear the word soft, especially I think as men, there's a connotation to weakness and just of lower value. But what I think any of us that begin to really allow ourselves to witness it, and even if you can't allow yourself to be there yet, I think just beginning to be aware of it, mm-hmm. tuning into it in other people, you begin to really see how it's truly their strength. The hard skills that we have are really, they're like the next level of tools, I feel like. So once I, you know, show up with these really wonderful soft skills of connecting with people, of understanding myself, being self-connected, of empathy and compassion and generosity and collaboration, these skills that allow us to grow together are really like, then when I come in with my hard skills and I say, hey, I know how to work hard. I know how to study hard. I know how to drive. I know how to do, push, whatever. It's towards something that's aligned with what we want versus yes. driving in a direction and waking up one day and saying, wait a second, I knew what I wanted. And yet I ended up here that's somewhere I don't want to be. And that's because what we believed we wanted wasn't actually where we wanted to be.
Yeah.
And that creates a really sometimes large cavern that feels like we can't cross it at that point. And so we get stuck just, you know what? I guess this is my life. I'm just going to do more of the same. But the truth is that when we get higher up that mountain, what looks like the Grand Canyon might be a crack in the sidewalk for us. It just needs us to step by step begin to just make progress. That brings fulfillment. When we just know, hey, I made a different mistake today. I think that alone is a really powerful experience. I didn't do the same thing. Wasn't perfect yet. Wasn't, you know, I want to get better. And just realizing that, again, changing those I am beliefs. I am someone who can evolve. I am someone who is patient. I am someone who, you know, makes people feel good. And all of these things that we want, ideally, to show up in, again, come from allowing ourselves to feel good. And then our needs are met. So we have nothing to do with our energy, but give it.
Yeah. As you were talking, you talked about the chasm. And I was reminded of the movie, the Indiana Jones, and, you know, looking for the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Indiana Jones comes to the edge out of the one mountain, and there's the chasm. And right on the other side of the chasm is his dad, and there's the Holy Grail. And the only way he can get there is to take that first step of faith. The first leap of faith is to take that step out there. be vulnerable to the situation.
Yeah.
And trusting that the walkway will be there. And he took the first step, and by golly, it showed up. And that is so perfect for us with this challenge in our life to grow, because on the other side of the chasm is the magic, is the growth. All we have to do is have the courage to take that first step.
Yeah. I love the word magic that you use, because I do feel that same way. It's a magical way to live, because it really makes life a win-win. It's a win for you, and it's a win for everyone else. And what I have found with these high vibe habits is that there is some ability to systematize it, to find our way back to it, wherever that is, wherever we are, that, you know, allowing ourselves this opportunity to reflect on our past, to project to our future, and to live in the present with constructive thoughts and actions really do create that. All we have to do is believe that it's possible. And when we do that and we follow these, we get to, again, these are all habits that you're already using in your life. Everyone out there that's listening, you're using these already. We're just really actually developing them to an equal strength of what you're doing. And so you can just let some of the other parts of you just rest and relax and let these support you in a way that's going to feel good. And you're going to start to meet your needs. And I think one of the things, right, like you were saying about this whole idea of faith and trust, is that we spend so much time thinking about what might go wrong, what's going to happen when they say something, if I fail, that the more we practice putting ourselves out there, the more we realize that, hey, if I do make that mistake, if somebody does say something or think something, it's actually not that big of a deal to me. Like, I lived through it. And I think the more we start to give ourselves that experience and really create positive neuroplasticity, right? Instead of sitting with those, oh my gosh feelings, and that feeling really strong and powerful, it's just like turning down the dial, because fear is important. We're not trying to erase any part of us, eliminate it. What we're trying to do is just kind of create a more balanced internal landscape so that when I say, or something happens and I realize it wasn't that bad, I have a little more proof for myself, so that when I do it next time, oh yeah, and this wasn't that bad. And this one was awful, but I learned something, not as bad as I thought. Mm-hmm. And just getting to, again, walk ourselves up.
Is this growth opportunity available for anybody?
Absolutely. I think anybody, everybody. I mean, I teach it to my kids. And what I want to say is that you had pointed out earlier, like, you have friends that you don't even bother discussing things like this with. And I think it's important to realize also the power of what you're saying, of what I'm saying around energy, about when we show up and energetically change, we are influencing everybody around us without having to be controlling, without saying, hey, I need you to change and I want you to think like this. Because it's a bit like a chess game, right? If I'm always playing the same game, then my opponent, the other person, has the same choices. As soon as I start making new moves, the other people around me, without even realizing it, are going to realize, oh, I could do something different. Or that's actually really inspiring, John. I love the way that, you know, I've been noticing that you did this, or gosh, you feel so happy and light, and, you know, and you're doing all this stuff in retirement.
Thank you.
And, you know, people read that. There's actually a woman, I don't know if you're familiar with the organization Science of People, but Vanessa Van Edwards, I believe, is the founder of that. And she talks about, I read her book Cues, and she was even talking about how we physically represent ourselves differently when we feel different. And without realizing it, we are always, again, encoding and decoding between each other, different facial expressions, postures, really reading energy in a way that we don't even realize we're reading. That's on a subconscious level. So it's absolutely positively happening that you are influencing people around you by increasing your energy levels.
Not long ago, I'm going to say a couple of weeks ago, I did a little investigation on the Harvard study back in 1939, where they studied a certain group of young men in the inner city of Boston. Mm-hmm. And then they also studied, coincidentally, at the same time, 5 years straight of sophomore class of Harvard graduates, and they studied them. It's the longest longitudinal study in the history of mankind. It still was going until, I think, 2013, and I think that there are only 13 of the original people still alive, but they also studied their wives, and their offspring. And what they were looking for is what makes people successful. So they went to the inner core of Boston, where these young men were just, I mean, it was the poverty of poverty. It was the filth of filth. It was the immoral environment of immoral. And then you had the Harvard, you know, posturing and whatever. And what they discovered shocked them, and I'm sure you're aware of this study, is that it wasn't education that created success. It wasn't financial that created success. It wasn't the things that we would lay out there initially, like opportunity and whatever. But they found the number one component characteristic of people that were successful was based upon connectedness. Relationship, they were people that had relationships with depth and meaning. I found that very interesting. And so when I asked you a minute ago, is this available for anybody? I knew what your answer was going to be. And I'm glad. I mean, you just said absolutely immediately. And you didn't put any quantification on that answer. And that Harvard study did the same thing. It didn't put any quantification on it. It took it away, and everybody has the opportunity to connect and create relationships of depth, no matter where you are at and what you can do. So the mentality, the mindset, well, I can't do that because I'm in this gang, or I can't do that because I'm economically deprived. Well, I can't do that because my family is so wealthy and, you know, we have our standards and we can't lower our standards to whatever. And therefore, no, you can. Everybody can. And there's such richness that lays out there beyond that, Nithya.
Yeah. You know, even thinking about expansion, I was thinking, you know, I walked into that room, basically into a room full of strangers, and yeah. I had a few faces that I knew, but I left there feeling so connected. And, correct. You know, you're not the only one who comes back to where they live that does this development work, that really believes in it passionately. You know, I'm the same. But not everybody that I'm surrounded with feels that way,
yep.
Lives that way. And it's so important to realize, and especially in this day and age, I think it's really possible. But for us to really find the power within community, because there are days where it is hard. And when we feel like we're carrying this torch alone, it can feel like a burden sometimes, like it's just not worth it. I don't need it to be this hard. I just be like everybody else around me. Yep. And when we have community and we share, like your beautiful podcast here, really, you know, serving other people, offering them this idea that, hey, we're out there, and to really connect, because, you know, you can, even if the other person doesn't believe what you want, there is a way to connect to where you are received, right? You're able to give the way you want to give. I can show up as a mom that I want to be, the wife that I want to be, even if my husband or my kids or my colleagues don't respond to me in the way, it isn't about the way they respond. And I go out and I create, you know, additional connections that feed me and my soul, you know, connecting with you and, you know, so many other people that I have met along the way. And there's so much power in that. And I love that you brought up relationships, because it's one of those things, right? That when you read, there's a woman who wrote a book, she was a hospice worker. And the number one regret of people is always around relationships. You know, did I love the person enough? Did I experiment? You know, did I go out on the limb enough? Did I give enough? Did I do enough? It's always about how we connect with other people, because that is really the experience that we live. You know, how we feel, the people we surround ourselves with. We are just this energetic echo chamber that we get to, again, when we raise our vibration, we give permission, we show people a way, and when we just get to offer it to ourselves, we also get to remove the burden from the other people in our life of needing to be our perfect partner, our perfect colleagues, our perfect whatever. And we get to see them truly for what they have to offer And maybe, yes, I see you and I see my husband. I say, oh my gosh, I love you. And I so appreciate what you do and bring to our family. And I need you to help with this, right? But when we start from a place of truly seeing everybody's contribution, everybody's strengths, it isn't about the weaknesses, right? We can help each other grow. And we start with ourselves.
Yes. That was great. I love that little excerpt there, Nithya. You know, when we show up with energy, when we show up with excitement, when we show up with a smile on our face and we look people in the eyes and we communicate well, we can very quickly make a connection. And within a few words, we can actually create a relationship. Look at what we've done to the other person in doing so. And that's the magic. That's what I think is so, it's irresistible. I mean, we just can't deny it. And we love being in that space, and it feels so good. And that's what I loved about expansion.
Yeah.
Was that once we, it didn't take long for that community to really come together. And we just felt good.
Yeah, it really was a beautiful experience, even for people who were not. I mean, none of us, I guess, really fully knew what we were walking into, but it was great to hear people's shares around, you know, what they experienced and their surprise and what they really received from it, even from just cracking open a little bit more.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I signed up for next year already, and it's going to be see how this grows. I'm loving it. Nithya, we have shared a lot today. I hope we have some minds just spinning as people are listening to this. I know that they're going to want more information. I will post at the end of our podcast notes how they can make connection with you. So I will have you text me the best ways for them to connect with you. I'm going to put on there your website. I'm going to encourage people to make connection and contact with you. I think you have a valuable approach and service for people out there, and we need this. I think as a whole, people were not that happy. And happiness can be a choice. And that's the reason I ask you those questions. Is this available for everybody? Can everybody be happy? And, you know, you walk around on the streets, or you're out someplace, or you're at a convention, or you're at a sporting event, and you look at people's faces. So many people just don't look happy. And it's like, why? What's wrong with this? And so part of my quest, and I know part of yours, that's your profession, is to help make people happy. Part of my purpose for this podcast is to help dentist or any other professional person that listens to this to realize that there is richness out there and to provide them opportunities and tools with which they can choose to use to create the life that they choose that they may want to live.
Yeah.
And so I want them to connect with you. And that's why I immediately knew within a minute or so after talking with you at Expansion that I had to have you on the podcast. And the richness of this conversation has not disappointed me at all. It has been just wonderful, Nithya, wonderful. Is there any last parting words that you would like to share with the audience?
You know, like I said earlier, the one takeaway is really for anyone to begin this journey, I think, is to just first be able to ask yourself, how do I feel right now? And you can just start there. It will lead you, I think, on the path of where you need to be to find the people that you need to find, just like the Indiana Jones bridge, right? When we begin to tip that domino in our favor, I think we'll always be just amazed at the magic of what is possible.
Yes. Yes. Also, you have a book that's going to be coming out.
I do. And I will keep you posted on that. And again, if your listeners hop onto my website, there's a way to stay connected with me where they'll also have it up to date on when my high vibe habits.
I want to know the minute, Nithya, that book is available.
Oh,
because I was the one other thing other than your book coming out. I love reading. is share with me if there's one book that you would suggest that I read and the listeners read that will help them help us in this direction.
Oh, it is hard. I'm also an avid reader, John, and my husband's always like, why are you working? I was like, I'm not working. I love this stuff. It's just, I can't get enough of it. One of the most recent books I've read is, and I'm a huge fan of Adam Grant. He's an operational psychologist. And his most recent book is Hidden Potential. Yes. And I absolutely love, have you read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just finished it.
Okay. It's excellent. I've also, all of his books. So if you've not read the one before that is Think Again.
Yes.
Okay. And then Give and Take. Okay. Any of his I'd recommend. But what I really love about his work is that it is always just perspective based. And he, you know, as a researcher, he provides such wonderful data behind all of this and studies and everything, especially for those of us who cling, I think, to our old habits and believe that, no, this is the way I've always done it. And maybe as a parting visual, I also have this, you know, I'm a really visual person. Sometimes I had an image pop into my head, and it was this idea that sometimes we feel like we're just hanging by a thread and our old beliefs are the thing that are keeping us up, right? They're holding us up so that we just don't fall into a pit of whatever is down there. But if we turn the image just counterclockwise, one quarter turn, the things that we believe are holding us up are actually holding us back.
Okay.
And so when we realize that sometimes we do have to let go in order to pick something new up, whatever lies ahead of us at least is ahead of us. And it gets to be something that's full of potential, full of possibility. I love that word possibility. And for me, my work is really going even one step further of allowing people to see happiness, not just as a mere possibility, but really making it probable in their lives. Like, this is happening because I'm doing it for myself. I don't have to wait, like you said, right, for someone to say something or do something. And yeah. And so all of these, the works that I read, whether it's Adam Grant, also Vanessa Van Edwards' book was great, Cues, just getting a deeper understanding of how we show up in the world, have all been really impactful for me. And again, I'm a big fan of science and data, and I find it really interesting, but just to always remember that we don't need the science. We feel the difference, and it's an intuitive intelligence that we have. And that's not a weakness. It's not a woo-woo kind of thing. It's truly how you go through life, right? Life is only what you experience. It's not a real thing. It's because what I experience is different than what the person next to me experiences. And that's because we have a different lens. It's all getting filtered, right? There's no one that has a truth filter or whatever. It's all our truth if we believe it. So what do you get to believe? What's possible for you in your life?
Endless, right?
Yes.
I love that.
Endless magic.
You betcha. Magic indeed, Nithya. And I think today's podcast has been a magical moment for us.
Oh, thank you, John. I really appreciate you having me on and asking really thoughtful questions, because it does make a difference. And I think that you're making a difference. So thank you for your work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And with that, we will close out today's podcast. And I'm your host, Dr. John. And our guest has been Nithya Correa. Thank you, Nithya.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.